Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do encourage you to pick up my book, Slime Incorporated. It's my first novel. Now we've got 12 reviews on Amazon and a 4-star rating. It's available as an audiobook, an ebook, and a paperback. And all of my books, ebooks, and audiobooks are available at store.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of The Avenger, the final episode. From April 12th of 1946, here now is Death Counts 10.
The Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
The Avenger, sworn enemy of evil, is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected several inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger. Most remarkable of these inventions is the highly secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, The Avenger and Death Counts 10.
Ladies and gentlemen, this sports broadcast was brought to you from Red Garvin's training camp at Green Lake. As all you sports fans know, Red Garvin meets Silk Cross tomorrow night at Ranley Stadium in the big fight that will decide which of these fighters will meet the champion in 6 weeks. Your sportscaster will be at the ringside tomorrow night, so be sure to tune in. Until then, this is Ted Flory signing off. Good night.
Okay, we're off the air, fellas.
All right, Red, let's go to work. How about the heavy bags?
Some luck I call this, Jim. We drive all the way down here to Green Lake to watch Red Garvin work out and run plumb into a radio broadcast we could have heard at home.
Take it easy, Inspector. Red's going to punch the bag a little for those sports riders. That'll give us a pretty good idea of the shape he's in. Go this way, Inspector.
This Red Garvin can't be much of a fighter, Jim. Silk Ross is an 8-1 shot to knock him out tomorrow night.
Well, Red is a great slugger and he has plenty of heart, but he throws away too many punches. Silk Ross can outbox Red. There's very little doubt about that.
Yeah, there he is over there.
Oh, yeah, he's got a good hook, too, you know.
Hey, Red looks pretty good at that punching bag.
Yeah, he does. But it's not too hard to get the range of a punching bag.
No, I guess not.
Listen, Inspector, you don't have to beat around the bush with me. I know why you're down here at Green Lake.
Yeah, why?
Because too much smart money in town says Silk Ross is a cinch to flatten Red. And there's even a rumor making the rounds that says Red has been fixed to throw the fight.
Yeah, you're right, Jim. The boxing commissioner sent me down here to take a look around.
Well, let's find Red's manager, Jack Hogan. I know Hogan pretty well. We can ask him a few plain questions.
Where do you suppose Hogan is?
Well, I saw him going toward the house a few minutes ago. Here, it's this way. Say, Inspector. Isn't that fellow going toward the gate, Doc Vaughn, Silk Ross's trainer?
Yeah. Now, what do you suppose Doc is doing here in the enemy camp on the eve of the big battle?
I don't know, but I'm certainly going to ask Jack Hogan about it.
Oh, I didn't even know Doc Vaughn was hanging around here, Jim. But I've sent for Red. We'll see if he knows anything.
Okay, Hogan.
Say, where did Inspector White go?
Oh, he's out in the yard having a talk with the sports writers.
Yeah.
Say, Hogan, what's your honest opinion about this fight?
You, Ted.
Do you think Red has a ghost of a chance against Silk Ross?
Sure I do, Jim. If my boy keeps his head out there tomorrow night, there's no... No, here comes Red now.
He looks like he's mad about something.
What's the matter, Red?
It's that Doc Vaughn, Jack. Yeah? Just where they had me offered me a price to take a dive tomorrow night.
Why, the dirty... So you didn't lay a glove on him, did you, Red?
Nah, but I felt like murdering him.
Where is he now?
I ordered him out of camp. He had sense enough to make tracks quick.
How do you like that Ross outfit? Trying to fix this fight so Silk will be sure to have a chance at the title.
Now, you're not going to let them get away with a thing like this, are you, Jack?
No. I'll go right into town and have it out with Robbins. He manages Silk. He must be behind this.
Now, Hogan, just a minute. Take it easy.
We can't take a thing like this lying down, Jim. This is Red's big chance. I'm not going to let anybody muff it.
That's just it. If there's any more scandal about this fight, the boxing commission will call it off.
Yeah, that's right. What am I supposed to do, Jim? I gotta teach them monkeys a lesson.
Hogan, why don't you handle it this way? Let everything ride until after the fight.
Yeah.
Then you and Red sign a written complaint against Doc Vaughn. That would be the fairest thing as far as Red is concerned.
All right, let's do like Brandon says, Jack. I'd have flattened that weasel on the spot, only I didn't want to get into no trouble just before the fight.
Okay, but I'll fix Vaughn for this. I'll see to it that he's washed up in the fight game if it's the last thing I do.
Gosh, this stadium is packed.
Yes, Vern. Even though Ross is the heavy favorite, this fight seems to have caught the imagination of the public.
And these are wonderful seats, right next to the broadcast mic.
Oh, here comes Ted Flory. I guess it's time for the main bout. Hello, Ted.
Hi, Jim. Vern. Say, by the looks of the gate, you'd think the odds were even, wouldn't you?
If it turns out to be too dull, we'll just close our eyes and listen to you, Ted.
Huh?
You know how to make a poor fight sound good.
Now, Jim, I call them the way I see them, but I have to keep the audience awake.
Oh, look, the fighters are getting into the ring, Jim. Which one is Red Garvin?
Oh, the red-headed one in the purple trunks.
They look about the same size.
Yeah, well, Silk Ross has a longer reach.
Oh, look, Jim. That messenger just gave Silk Ross a white fox. What? Why, it's an orchid.
Jack Hogan always presents Red's opponent with an orchid just before a fight.
But why?
Well, Hogan thinks it lowers their morale. You know, fighters are terribly superstitious.
Well, evidently Silk Ross isn't. Look, he's pretending to smell it and making a face.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ted Flory speaking to you from the ringside at Ramley Stadium. In just a moment, Red Garvin and Silk Ross will meet here in the ring in a 15-round bout to decide which of them will become the challenger for the heavyweight title of the world. In the meantime, let me take this opportunity to say a few words about my sponsor, who brings you this exciting blow by blow. Now the gloves have been examined, the fighters have been introduced, the ring is clear, fighters are in the corners waiting, and there goes the gong for the first round. Fighters come out of their corners, charge into each other in the middle of the ring. Silk Ross lands a hard right on the jaw of Red Garvin, but Red seemed to ride it with a punch. Red is holding his guard high now, and Silk is trying desperately to move in. Red strikes out with a quick 1-2 that rattles Silk's teeth as they go into a clinch. The referee breaks them, and Silk catches Red with a looping right to the temple. Now they begin to counter and left and right to flying to pass. That third round was really exciting. This Red Garvin can slug all right, even if he is a little wild. Red landed a left above Silk's eye in that round and opened it up. And there goes the warning buzzer. Fourth round coming up. Let me see there. Yes, sir, they're mopping Silk's face with a towel. Jack Hogan is giving Red some last-minute instructions. And there goes the guns. They come out for the fourth. And Red throws a left. It goes wild. Now Red's measuring Silk carefully as they move around in the middle of the ring. Both fighters are beginning to look tired. Red attacks with a lightning left and right to Silk's jaw. Silk is shaken. Red pushes his advantage and hits Silk with another straight left. And Silk goes down. Red moves to a neutral corner. The referee starts counting. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ross is still unconscious. They've taken him to his corner. Everybody is standing by while the doctor examines him. Let me see, there's about half a dozen policemen who moved into the ring. And Jim Brandon, who was sitting here beside me a moment ago, has just crawled in through the ropes. Just a minute now. There seems to be something wrong in there. Wait a minute. I'll have it for you in a moment. Now, what is it, Joe? What's wrong out there? Ladies and gentlemen, a terrible thing has just happened here. Silk Ross is dead.
Thank you.
inspector down here at headquarters, Jim.
Well, we'll wait for him, Fern. He's checking something for me.
Oh, well, in the meantime, suppose you tell me what happened at the autopsy.
Silk Ross didn't die from those blows. Red dealt him, Fern.
What happened then?
Silk was weakened by some kind of gas.
Gas?
Yes. Something that doped him just enough to slow down his breathing and lower his resistance. When Red hit him, he was knocked unconscious. And the dope prevented a natural recovery.
Oh, then Red Garvin won't be held responsible.
Not unless it can be proved that Red administered the gas as well as the blow. So far, we haven't been able to determine what kind of gas was used, and therefore, we don't know when it was administered or how.
I don't see how Red could have done it, Jim. Oh, Jim.
Hmm?
What about those orchids Red's manager sent Silk? Could they have contained the gas? Remember? Silk smelled them.
Yes, I remember that, but we recovered the orchids and tested them. Nothing's doing.
Well, it seems to me that Red and the men in his corner were the only ones who had a motive for killing Silk. They seem to be the only ones who are betting heavily on Red to win.
We're not sure about that yet, Fern. Ah. Hello, Inspector. How'd you make out?
Well, Jim, Doc Vaughn placed big bets on Red to win.
That looks bad. Doc tried to bribe Red to lose. Red refused. And then Doc turns around and bets money on Red to win.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make sense, Jim.
No, except perhaps to keep the odds riding at 8-1.
Yeah, then if Red won, Doc stood to clean up.
Oh, but Doc was Silk's trainer. Surely he...
Stranger things than that have happened in the ring, Fern. Come on. Doc Vaughn has some explaining to do.
Okay, Brandon, speak plain. What do you want here?
Where's Doc Vaughn, Robbins?
I don't know. He ducked down after Silk got it.
Ducked out? How do you mean that?
I mean that Doc paid up what he owed me and drifted. That's all.
Any idea where he went?
No. Why should I have any idea where he went? You learned early not to ask any questions in the fight game, Brandon. Doc probably mope around in the sticks for a year or two until he comes across another good boy like Silk. When that happens, then I'll hear from him again.
I suppose Doc paid off what he owed you with some of that 8-1 money he won on Red Garvin.
What's that?
You heard me. Doc bet a pile on Red to win that fight. And I think you know where he got that betting money.
Be careful what you say, Brandon. You know, that's the same as saying Doc and me double-crossed Silk. I don't like that.
Listen here, Robbins. Somebody double-crossed Silk Ross. And I don't intend to stop until I find out who it was.
Well, why don't you go to work on Jack Hogan? His fighter gets a chance at the title now that Silk's dead. Why are the cups laying off of him?
Because so far, this case is wide open. We have no more to write to suspect Hogan than... you.
Hogan had plenty of money on Red to win, and Red bet heavily on himself, too. How do you explain that? When all the smart money was on Silk.
Win or lose, a fighter is always willing to bet on himself.
Yeah, maybe. But a smart manager like Hogan isn't. You better go to work on that angle instead of snooping around here.
I said the case was still wide open, Robbins.
Well, if you think Doc or I had anything to do with Silk's death... and you're crazier than I give you credit for. Why should I want to kill off my own fighter when he was a cinch to beat Red anyway and get a crack at the title in 6 weeks?
If money was the motive for Silk's death, he had to be killed while the odds were on him. In the title match, the odds would have been on the champ.
Listen, if you could prove anything like that, you wouldn't be standing there yapping about it.
That's right. I'll keep you posted, Robbins. In the meantime, we'll expect you to cooperate on this case.
Sure.
Otherwise, you can count yourself out of the fight game for good.
Now, back to the Avenger and Death Counts 10.
Is that Red Garvin's training camp just ahead there, Jim?
That's it, Fern.
Looks rather deserted. Why did you want to come out here, Jim?
Well, the inspector called and told me to drive down right away. I don't know what's going on. Well, here we are.
Oh, and there's the inspector at the door. Hello, Inspector.
Hello. Come right in, Jim. We're waiting for you.
Right.
Want me to wait outside, Jim?
Oh, no. Come along, Vern.
I'm glad you made it in time, Jim. Come inside.
What's going on here, Inspector?
Doc Vaughn called me and told me to meet him out here. He's promised to spill some information that'll wind up this case.
It's a frame-up, Jim. That's what it is. How do you mean, Hogan?
It's Doc Vaughn business. Why should he pick my camp for his confession? Why didn't he go to see the inspector at headquarters?
We'll ask him that when he arrives. He must have some reason for it.
He's just trying to get Red and me in wrong, that's all.
Where is Red, Hogan?
He's at his hotel in town. Well, I got some work to do in the office.
Call me when you want.
I'll do that. Hogan's right about Doc coming here, Inspector. That doesn't look good.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't, but there could be an angle in that.
What?
And maybe Doc Vaughn intends to tell us that the killer of Silk Ross is right here at Green Lake.
You mean Hogan?
Yeah, both Hogan and Red are still on my list of suspects.
Inspector! Red! Come here, quick!
What's up now?
It's Hogan. He's calling from the porch. What is it, Hogan? What's happened?
Look, Inspector.
Why, it's Doc. What happened to him?
I don't know. I found him in a heap right here at the door.
Take a look at him, Jim.
Right. Doc Vaughn is dead, Inspector. Cy will run off the fight pictures for us in a minute, Baron.
Jim, why do you want to see the pictures of the fight? I thought the case was just about solved now that the inspector has arrested Jack Hogan for the murder of Doc Vaughn.
Well, the inspector and I don't always see eye to eye, Fern.
Well, isn't it reasonable to suppose that whoever killed Doc also killed Silk?
Yes, that's reasonable enough. Doc and Silk died from the effects of the same gas.
Then it must be Hogan. Why, he was the only one who was on the spot when Doc died. Now, I think Doc was going to expose Hogan as Silk's killer. So, Hogan murdered him before he had a chance to talk.
Well, for the time being, that's exactly the way the case stands.
Go ahead, Cy. Give us the first round, and then jump to the end of the third.
Oh, look, Jim. There we are in the first row.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Ted Flory moved right between us and the camera.
Never mind us, young lady. Keep your eye on the fighters.
All right. Nothing strange happened in that first round, Jim.
No.
Okay, Cy. Now give us the end of the third and what there was of the fourth. Got that in slow motion.
Watch closely now, Fern. Silk seemed all right until the beginning of the fourth. There. That was the blow that cut Silk's eye at the end of the third. Now, watch Doc and Robbins go to work on that cut when the round ends.
It seems strange to watch these pictures without sound. There's the end of the third. Gosh, Doc and Robbins don't lose any time, do they?
No. Doc is pouring disinfectant on Silk's eye.
Robbins has the bandages ready.
Doc applies the bandages.
Then Robbins holds a wet towel over Silk's face.
While Doc applies ice to the back of his neck. Then Silk comes out for the fourth round.
Why, Silk seems a little groggy, Jim.
Yes, even before Red laid a glove on him in that round.
Now they're in close. Look at Ted Flory, Jim. He's so excited, he's almost inside the ring.
Red hits Silk with a left and a right. Another left. Silk goes down. Yeah.
Okay, Cy, that's all. Thanks a lot.
Well, did you find out anything, Jim?
Yes, I think I did, Fern. Now all I have to do is go to work and try to fit together the evidence so that it will stand up in a court of law. And that won't be easy in this case. Come on. Well, how's it going, Red?
Oh, it's you, Brandon, eh?
Now that you've been cleared in Silk's death by the Boxing Commission and the police, are you going to take on the champ?
I don't know yet. With Jack Hogan in jail, I don't think I stand a chance to beat the champ. Guy needs a smart manager in his corner to win the title bout.
Well, it seems a shame for you to pass up a chance at the title, Red, after working so hard for it.
Yeah, but there ain't much I can do about it.
Well, I think if I were in your shoes, Red, I'd get myself a smart manager and take that fight.
Well, what do you want with me, Mr. Robbins?
I sent for you, Red, because I hear you're looking for a manager.
Yeah, I am.
Well, how about me, Red? If you and I can get together, there's no reason why we can't grab off that title for you.
I don't know, Robbins. After what's happened, it don't seem right somehow for you and me to hitch up.
Why not? You're a fighter without a manager, and since Silk's gone, I'm a manager without a fighter. Seems logical enough to me.
You think I got a chance to take the chance?
Sure you have. If I'm in your corner. I've been studying the champ's style for 2 years. He's got plenty of weak points, Red. He'd be a sucker for that straight left you showed in a fight with Silk.
Well, if I do tie up with you, Robbins, it'll only be for this one match. As soon as Hogan gets out of trouble, I go back to him.
Sure, Red, sure. When you're champ, you can do whatever you want. Is it a deal?
Okay. I guess Hogan wouldn't want me to pass up this chance for the title.
I'll say he wouldn't. Okay. I'll see you at the camp tomorrow, kid. We'll go right to work.
Well, Jim, is that small bottle the inspector's men found at Red's training camp a clue?
It certainly is, Vern. This bottle proves conclusively how Silk and Doc were murdered. It contained a deadly gas formed from chlorine and carbon monoxide. It can be condensed to a liquid, and when inhaled, has serious respiratory effects. If enough is inhaled, it can cause almost instant death.
That certainly sounds like the murder weapon, Jim. But who could have administered it?
I think I know how that was done, Fern. Get the car out. We're going to make another trip to Green Lake.
Jim, every time we come out here to Red's camp, Ted Flory is here. I didn't know sportcasters had so much time on their hands.
Well, Red Garvin is news now, Vern. He's in the big time at last.
Well, have you heard the news, Jim?
What news, Inspector?
Hogan's been released on bail.
You don't say. Is he here at the camp?
Yeah, he's in Robin's office now. I don't like the looks of this at all, Jim. There's sure to be trouble here. Robbins has moved in, you know, and Hogan hates him like poison.
Where are you going now, Inspector?
I'm going to warn Robbins that Hogan is here. I'll see you later, Jim.
Right.
I don't understand this, Jim. Why in the world did they let Hogan out of jail?
I bailed him out, Fern.
You bailed him out? Why?
It was the only way to bring things to a head here. Fern, you go over there and talk to Ted Flory for a while.
Where are you going, Jim?
There'll be fireworks in the office within the next few minutes, Fern. And I think the Avenger should be there to see them.
What kind of a double-dealing game do you think you're playing, Robin?
No, take it easy, Hogan. You're all wrought up, and you got the wrong slant on it.
No, I'm just beginning to see through this mess. The minute I was out of the way, you stole my fighter from me.
Look, I was doing Red a favor, that's all. We figured that's the way you'd want it. After all, you couldn't do Red any good in jail. Wait a minute. What was that noise?
I don't know. It seemed to come from that open window.
Just a minute now. I'll see what... Huh? There's nobody here. Hey. What's the matter, Hogan? You look wobbly on your pins.
Yeah, I'm all in, I guess. I haven't been able to eat or sleep for days, worrying about Red.
Yeah. Well, you better sit down.
Thanks.
Here. Just take a whiff of this.
What is it?
Smelling salts. Take the cork out and inhale. Very deeply.
Don't open that bottle, Hogan.
Who said that? Who's in here?
It's the Avenger, Robbins. And I've got the goods on you at last.
The Avenger?
Hogan, deliver that bottle to Inspector White and tell him to come here at once to arrest Robbins for the murder of Silk Ross and Doc Vaughn.
Hogan! Here are the notes on the Robbins case. Will you type them up for the inspector, please?
Yes, sir. You know, I'll be glad to get this case in the record book and out of the way.
Yes, it was pretty unsavory all the way through. Even though Robbins didn't intend to kill Silk, he did intend to weaken him and throw the fight so Red would win.
And Robbins and Doc could clean up a small fortune. Doc was the one who hit on the idea of the gas, wasn't he?
That's right, Fern.
Then Robbins killed Doc because he was going to confess.
Yes. Robbins had Doc trailed every minute after Silk's death, and he was waiting for him when he arrived at Green Lake. He gave Doc the same gas treatment he'd given Silk. But in his excitement to make a quick getaway, he threw away the telltale bottle.
But, Jim, if Robbins and Doc knew Silk was going to lose the fight, why did Doc try to bribe Red to throw the fight? That wasn't necessary.
That was merely a way of making sure Red would fight doubly hard. They wanted to make certain the fight would go 3 rounds at least, so that when Silk weakened, it wouldn't look phony.
Jim, what was the clue that told you Robbins was guilty?
In the moving pictures of the fight, it was evident that Silk was perfectly all right until Robbins held that towel over his face just before the 4th round. When the inspector's men found that bottle that had contained the gas, I realized that could have been used on the towel. All the symptoms checked.
Well, I'm glad Robbins won't be around when Red fights for the title.
After your experience at that last fight, I don't suppose you'll be present either.
Why, what do you mean, Jim? I've already ordered our tickets. I love seeing myself in the movies.
All characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of...
The Avenger.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, once again, the Avenger gives us a fairly good mystery. And of course, we do see these sort of stories around the boxing matches fairly frequently. It seems like every other show digs into this world of corrupt boxers or corrupt promoters or corrupt managers. So probably one of the less outstanding episodes of the series. Overall thoughts on The Avenger. Well, it begins, I think, with a very interesting premise, but the invisibility is rarely necessary to actually solve the case. What I do think works about the series is the cases themselves. They are above average in their crafting, and I think the mysteries are fairly engaging on an intellectual level, and there are a few exceptions. But it was an interesting series, and I think that it's a... And I just truly hope that you've enjoyed this. Less the issues some had with the theme music. Or not the themes, but the incidentals. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now. And we have this from Lisa. She emails in, "I listen to your podcast and enjoy it immensely. I also enjoy your book and movie TV show reviews. I don't have cable, only antenna TV and Amazon Prime. I usually have a lot of noir movies ready to watch. Today I watch Murder by Decree, 1979, with Christopher Plummer and James Mason about Jack the Ripper Sherlock Holmes. It is excellent. Not sure if you've ever reviewed it, but I thought I'd suggest it to you." Well, thanks so much for the suggestion, Lisa, and I do appreciate it. And I've actually seen it around video streaming services. I've never quite gotten to watch it. There are so many Sherlock Holmes movies out there, so it can be hard to know for sure what's worthwhile. But I really do appreciate the suggestion, and I'll see if I can get around to it next time I've got a gap in my viewing schedule. All right, well, that will do it for today. Next week, the lineup returns to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with some newly circulated episodes. And we'll be back tomorrow with the Richard Diamond. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.